This is a People First Radio podcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
A report called Looking for Balance has provided a snapshot of the current state of antipsychotic medication use in Ontario long-term care homes. It reveals that there is a wide variation across homes in the percentage of residents being prescribed these medications. The Toronto Star reported in 2014 that nearly half of Ontario nursing homes residents aged 65 to 79 were being given antipsychotic and sedative drugs. Use of these medications has sparked debate because of their potential to cause serious side effects. A separate report issued in British Columbia last month showed that more than a third of BC care home residents were prescribed antipsychotic medications in 2012-13. Yet only 4% of those residents had been diagnosed with a psychiatric disorder.
I spoke earlier this week with Dr. Joshua Tepper. He's a family physician as well as the president and chief executive officer of Health Quality Ontario. That's the agency that issued the Looking for Balance report. Here's that interview.
This survey found what the Globe and Mail described as wild variations in the number of residents in long-term care who are prescribed antipsychotic medications in Ontario care facilities. Tell us about the variations that you found.
In this study, we took a look at 600, in fact, a little over 600 long-term care homes in Ontario. We didn't look at smaller homes. They all had at least 25 beds or more. And we found three really important things. First of all, is over the last several years, the trend has been downwards in terms of the use of these medications. But within that downward trend, we saw a lot of variation across homes. In some of the 600-plus homes, these medications were never used, and in others, over two-thirds of the residents were on these medications. And that's a very striking variation. We know that probably some of it is because some long-term care homes are purpose-built and specially designed for people with mental health problems, and so they'll have a higher number of mental health patients there. But even taking that into consideration, this range of variation was very striking. And then the final thing that we noticed is that a very large number of patients, almost 11,000, are those with dementia. We found about 5,000 who have psychosis, and then we weren't surprised. These are antipsychotic medications. You'd expect a lot of individuals with psychosis to be on them. But the role of these medications for patients who have dementia but not psychosis is a little less clear, and therefore this large number, 11,000, was quite striking. And again, that in context of that wide variation from none at all to over two-thirds was another significant finding.
Why is it a concern that elderly patients are being prescribed antipsychotic medications potentially in such large numbers?
All medications have benefits, but also risks and side effects. You know, these medications can be very helpful and an important opportunity to help control confusion and agitation that you can certainly see with psychosis and dementia. But there's also side effects. But before we get to the side effects, people, you know, it is important that people understand that, and you know, when somebody's confused and agitated, it's very distressing for that individual. And it's also a risk. They can sort of do things that might hurt themselves. They can do things that might unintentionally hurt somebody else. And so you don't want to just sort of sit idly when somebody's in a state of significant agitation or significant confusion. And that is potentially the role for either medication or, and we can talk more about this, non-medical opportunities or to manage the situation. The issue with these medications, as with all, is that there are side effects and risks. Some of the side effects are people can get quite drowsy. People can be more withdrawn or less engaged in their environment and the people around them. They can be more unsteady when they walk, and that puts them at risk of falls, where they could hurt themselves. And some literature would suggest that there's a very small increased risk of death. So again, as with any medication, you got to weigh the pros and the cons. As we think about an elderly population, such as the one we looked at in long-term care homes, the bodies process the medication differently. People are on more medications typically as they get older than when they're younger, so there's interactions. And so again, we always want to be very thoughtful about medications. And again, in these specific medications, the relative benefits against those risks that I've talked about.
the use of medications in certain circumstances to calm down agitated patients has sometimes been called chemical restraint. What are your thoughts about that characterization?
As I mentioned earlier, when somebody is very agitated or confused, that really is a very risky situation. It's risky for the individual, it's distressing for the individual, but it's also potentially a risk for people around them as well. And so you do want to make sure that you don't leave somebody in a confused and agitated state unduly. Medication is one of the approaches, and there's a range of potential medications, including the group we're looking at here, antipsychotic medications, that can be used. There's also a number of programs and approaches that can be done. There's ways of physically structuring a residence room. There's ways of organizing a individual sort of routine and long-term care home. There's education that can be given to caregivers as well as family members to help identify the early signs of agitation and confusion, and sort of then with that education and that early awareness, start to interact differently, arrange the circumstances a bit differently to try to really mitigate it before it gets out of control. And so again, I think the issue here is just really having a very informed conversation with the individual and with their family members about what's the best option. And then, of course, going back over time, you know, one thing about dementia is that it's a disease that changes. And same with psychosis, that, you know, it's a progressive illness, dementia, and so where somebody's at and their symptoms at one point in time may be different, very different 6 months later or even a few weeks later. And so, you know, you want to revisit to see how much agitation and confusion there is, what are the best approaches that might be used, medication or otherwise.
Do you think that the use of antipsychotic medications with certain patients is related to staff shortages or cutbacks? And this was raised in some of the Toronto Star reporting on this. In other words, there aren't enough staff to supervise or provide one-on-one contact or support.
One of the things we actually share in our report is how long-term care homes are already finding and using innovative approaches to appropriately managing these medications or finding alternatives. So one of the things we're seeing that, you know, already is homes using tools and approaches to carefully reduce the level of medications. There are tools already available to assess what types of behaviors may be more or less amenable. And actually, Health Quality Ontario, the agency I'm with, working with the Ontario Medical Association and the Ministry of Health, are about to sort of roll out a new program which will actually provide individual physicians with information about the long-term care patients that they're managing and their use of these medications for these patients, as well as other opportunities. So I think we see right now a range of alternatives to the use of the medication, as well as tools to help make sure that the medication, when used, is used in the most appropriate ways.
The report is called Looking for Balance, and it includes stories, almost like case studies, as I saw them, that show both sides of the use of antipsychotic medications in seniors' care, the good and the bad, so to speak. What did you see and hear in terms of this delicate balancing act?
I think, first of all, the involvement of patients and their family members and these stories are really important for us. We're obviously really proud of the data. We think the data tells a very important story. But we also believe strongly that the voice of an individual, the voice of an experienced caregiver and family member equally rounds out in an important way what the numbers and the graphs show. And so we felt very honored to have a number of caregivers, people who are involved in long-term care homes, as well as family members and patients, share their experience and their wisdom with us. And I think what it allowed us to see again is it really is about balance, and that everybody is an individual who needs to have a unique care plan discussed and provided for them and then reassessed over time. And, you know, it's funny, a lot of times people are under the impression that these are all sort of physician-driven. And in fact, it's often in some situations the family who sort of sees this very distressing agitation, and in one of the stories was actually a bit apprehensive at first about the physician's suggestion that they withdraw the medication. In other cases, it's probably the other side. And I think what it shows you is, and the reason we use the title Looking for Balance, is because it really is about focusing care on each individual, recognizing the unique sort of benefits and risks to any plan, and then reassessing it over time, and that there is no one number, and that there is not one approach that we should be trying to seek, but instead recognizing the balance between the needs of the individual, the wishes of the family, the advice of the caregivers, a point in time versus what happens later. All of those things need to be considered and like we said, weighed in the balance to find the right path.
The use of antipsychotics among older people in care is a problem outside Ontario as well. For example, in British Columbia, the Vancouver Sun has been reporting extensively on this as recently as just last month. You told the Globe and Mail that, quote, every jurisdiction is struggling with this issue. What can you tell us about that broader struggle?
Although our study was based on long-term care homes and the people who live in them in Ontario, the reality is that across Canada, in fact, many places in the world, many, many countries in the world, have an older population and a rapidly aging population. And as people age, there are more people with dementia as part of that aging. And that these medications are sort of not just used in Ontario. These are medications used in countries around the world. And there has been some discussion for some time about trying to find the pros and the cons, understand what are the risks of the medication, look at alternatives. So although this was an Ontario study, we really feel there's important messages for people across Canada and even beyond Canada, to be honest, because men, you know, there's elderly people everywhere, and these medications are available and used in active practice in many places.
You describe this report as a call to action to reflect and make sure we're using best practices for each individual patient. And you also added these are very vulnerable patients, and these are complex patients. I'm wondering, what actions do you expect will occur as a result of this information being made public?
You know, what we're hoping is that people... that this will stimulate questions to be asked and conversations to be undertaken. We hope that by providing, as I said, individual-level data to physicians about the patients under their care, by putting out this report publicly where family members and individuals in long-term care homes can sort of read and think about this, by in a few months we're going to actually put our individual long-term care home data on a public website, by sort of putting this information out there as well as highlighting the various tools that are available, we will stimulate conversations and we'll have people go and sort of say, you know, is my loved one on a medication like this? Does it make sense? If they're not, should they be? If they are, should they be? What are the other opportunities? When are we going to relook at this issue again? And, you know, this is really, healthcare when practiced well is about a series of informed conversations. And we hope that our information both informs those conversations and stimulates those conversations.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Only that I really appreciate your time today and your interest in this. Like I said, the elderly in our communities are very important members of society. There are more elderly people with time in Canada and in most of our communities. And it's really important that we always strive for the best possible care for these individuals as well as all others.
Dr. Joshua Tepper, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you for you and your interest and your time.
Dr. Joshua Tepper is a family physician as well as the President and Chief Executive Officer of Health Quality Ontario. You can find information about the report Looking for Balance online at hqontario.ca.
People First Radio is an initiative of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and broadcast on CHLY 101.7, radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the partnering organizations. Listen to People First Radio on demand. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.